Talk TKD.
Oh, you should have given me a lowdown all night.
Sorry.
You should have told me before. I was unprepared.
I thought this show had everything. It had, like, talking and taekwondo. So I thought, what else could it need? I thought, a catchy jingle. So.
Okay, I'll work on it. I'll work on some jingles, etc. for our intro. But welcome to episode 2 of Talk TKD. We hope you're all well and kicking. Obviously, the first episode went well. We had lots of good feedback. We've got lots of stuff to talk about from everyone. So thank you for your feedback and support. Excellent. How have you been, Mike?
I've been good. Yeah, just come back from training with you. Don't know why you're asking me that question. I've just been with you for everyone's benefit. Yeah, I'm good. Kicking, feeling strong, feeling quick.
Excellent.
My legs are suffering a bit from midweek training, but you know, that's part and parcel of what we do.
It is indeed.
Feeling fresh.
You've left something running. So entertain everyone.
Okay, I'm going to entertain you for a few seconds. Just some news coming up in the press. The EITF are in Italy at the moment. Apparently doing well. There's an EITF competition in Italy with like Aaron Jennings and...
England team from the other EITF. Yeah, European Championships. Good luck to those lads from England. Good luck to everyone, but particularly the guys... from England, obviously, because we are English. Hopefully they'll do well.
Roast beef and all.
Indeed. Hopefully you guys will do well, and then we can do equally well in Italy as well. So, yeah, we don't care what ITF or what's written on your Dobok, etc. It's all taekwondo. We all love it and support it.
Italy seems to be a hot spot at the moment. We've got.
It is, because there's another World Championships going on in Italy as well, isn't there?
Well, there's EITF European Championships going on, and then we've got our ITF World Championships going on in a few weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the UITF have their championships in Italy as well.
Mm.
So a lot going on there.
Definitely.
Talking about UITF, what's your opinion on unifying the ITF? How do you think it could be done?
Controversial.
It is controversial.
You like the controversy.
I do.
And I like that. I think each to their own. Like. Do what you want to do. I think if you want to unify the ITFs, I don't think creating another ITF basically is the way to do it. I think the only way it would happen is from internally. As I say, power to everyone that wants to do their own thing. Brilliant. Like, you know, I think we're past. I'm a bit of a pessimist / realist on that one. I don't think it's going to happen, but if there was any way of it happening, it would be the guys at the top of the ITF talking and combining and coming together, not creating that one and creating another one, hoping everyone will leave all those and join that.
I'm much the same. I mean, I can't imagine the leaders of, you know, the individual ITFs sacrificing their posts as chairman and kind of stepping down and joining this other group. I think it'd be interesting to know what's going on, like, with the negotiations, if there's actually, you know, talking going on at the top, you know.
There was the other ITF, the ITF-WTF agreement. I don't know, I saw a lot about that on the internet. I don't know how legit it is, but there is talk of sort of the ITF and WTF working together. Sadly not the one we're in, but to be honest, by the sounds of it, it's not really combining. It's just you can do our tournaments, we can do your tournament sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the WTF guys at the top are going to stay at the top, and the WTF and the ITF guys are going to stay at the top, and a few might cross over, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, good idea and concept. Making it a reality is easier said than done.
Yeah, very much so. Talking about events, we want to mention Master Wolf's British Championships in Margate, which is happening tomorrow. So if you're in the Kent area or around that area, I think you can enter on the day. if not, you know, you have to contact the organisers for that. If not, go down and watch. There's going to be some great, there's always some great fires. We did it back in 2008,
9, something like that.
Maybe 2010, maybe?
It was a few years ago.
It was a good few years ago. I'd love to go back and do another one, definitely. It's always, the standard's really great. Everyone's receptive there. It's a great tournament, you know. If you win that one, then you're legit, as they say. So yeah, that's in Margate, Master Wolves. If you just Google Master Wolves British Championships, Taekwondo, ITF, etc., you'll find it. I'll lead on as well, get the sponsor of the way. Super Fight Series, as I mentioned before, we'll put links up to their website where you can buy tickets. They've got some massive fights on. I am representing with my, in fact, that's what I got, the Super Fight Series t-shirt they've very kindly given me. And let's get the logos out.
I'm representing Whitlock Martial Arts today.
Super Fight Series, WMA, it's all going down. All going down. But yeah, they've got some great events, so check them out. Also, warriorforlife.com is the home of True Warrior. It's a great company, great owner, good guy doing great things. His fighters are doing amazing stuff. I think Hannah Whitaker's been over in Austria doing the Wacko classic. Good luck to her.
Adam Bonwick, England boys team captain.
Yeah, he's made the England boys team and the captain. But not only does he have great fighters, he produces great equipment as well, and he very kindly lets me wear it for him at the tournaments. And great stuff. So warriorforlife.com. So we've had a bit of feedback on Facebook about talking points and topics. We've had some really good ones. Please keep them coming. I think there's one that you'd like to address first. Contact.
Oh, contact levels in sparring. Yeah, it's with the RTF that we're involved with, Grandmaster Trattenberg. Sparring contact level has decreased massively. Mm. Which I think is great for aesthetically, you know. I think it's a very good idea in concept. But I just wondered how it fits in with General Choi's vision of Taekwondo. Whether it should be, you know, should it be kind of adhering to that, or should it be like something completely separate?
I think maybe we're at a level where the sport side of Taekwondo kind of is separate. You know, obviously the obvious things are that there are the rules, you know, above the waist, etc., you know, clinching.
It's pretty much kickboxing, really.
It was pretty much like continuous kickboxing. So I don't know if it's right to kind of compare it almost. I think it needs to be appropriate. If you're doing regional tournaments with kids and stuff like that, obviously it needs to be touch contact, everyone's safe, everyone have a good time, etc. And then just work it up, you know. English championships are a little higher contact, British championships are again, and then me personally, I like contact. I like the roughness of it, and you know, I like coming away from a tournament and feeling, you know what, I was in a fight today. But I know that not, you know, most people need to go back to work on Monday morning, so bashing seven shades out of each other on a Saturday during the day isn't realistic. But I understand what the ITF have done with keeping the contact down to keep it more technical sparring, which makes Taekwondo slightly different from most other sort of combat sports, is that technical kind of kicking and stuff. And I do agree with, you know, the way they're going and etc. I think it's the right way forward. I must admit, personally, I like it, you know. But that's why I do the full contact kickboxing and stuff, to get that kind of buzz from it as well.
Well, yeah, I think what you said about being appropriate to the, you know, because I think tournaments, you know, they're saying that Taekwondo is for everyone, and I think competitions should be for everyone, but there should be kind of like an A class competition, a B class, and C class, where, you know, people who want to do their first competition aren't going to get hurt, and people who want to do it just to kind of test out their skills aren't going to get hurt. But the A class, you know, if you're training day in, day out, then you're going to get more powerful, and you don't have to swing from the hip for it to be excessive, you know, your power's going to come on naturally. And it's just called being committed with a technique. I think we need to be committed without kind of being excessively... It kind of gets to a point where power is actually a bad thing to have. Sometimes, in some tournaments.
This is, I think, you know, a lot of associations get it right. And they have, you know, the control contact their kids, and then the black belts they let go a little bit. I think for me, as a competitor, the most frustrating thing I find sometimes is when I throw a technique and, with all due respect, the person's not got so much experience, and they run onto it, or and you know, it doubles the impact, and then I get a minus point. It's like, well, like, I didn't throw the technique excessively hard, it was just good timing on my behalf, and they've sort of doubled the power. But, you know, again, that just comes to sort of sensible, experienced refereeing, really. But, you know, that's, I mean, that's the good and bad thing about taekwondo. It's all subjective, isn't it? We try and objectify it as much as possible, but at the end of the day, we're humans. Referees make mistakes, fighters make mistakes. It's just about finding the middle ground and pointing your hands up and saying, yeah, sorry, when, you know, either the fighter or the referee was out of order. With levels of contact and discussing kids, we had a message from Marie Udall, who is a former Puma member, second degree black belt.
Poodles.
Yeah, come back to taekwondo. But she made a good point about kids competing in taekwondo and the role of the parent. It's really a delicate subject, I think, and the it can be taken wrongly and rightly. But I think for me, it's, I mean, I think we were lucky. We were really lucky. We had, growing up, our parents gave us a really good balance of supporting us and encouraging us, but never pressuring us. I've only once in my career have I thought about maybe stopping. I was a blue belt, so maybe I would have been 10, something like that. 9, 10 years old, and I thought, blue belt, things are getting pretty hard now, I'm not sure. And my dad sort of encouraged me, said, well, you know, why don't you just try and get to your next belt, like, give it a few months and see how you go. And I did, and I've, you know, worked towards my grading, did that, felt the love, and, you know, it's never been an issue ever since. I think all experienced black belts and instructors have been at tournaments where maybe you see sorts of kids competing, they're crying, and maybe mum and dad is going slightly beyond encouraging in, you know, willing them to partake in the tournament. What do you think about that? Have you seen that much? How would you handle it?
I think, again, in two different things, like encouraging and pressurising. I had the same thing when I was about a red belt. I think we did like a little inter-school competition tournament, and I lost first round, and I was never very good at competitions. Like both of us, I didn't win a single round of patterns or sparring until I was a second degree. And that's a long time doing every single tournament.
Remember that one, kids, that's important.
Yeah, so perseverance, that's main key. But I think I had a bit of a downer when I was a red belt, and I just, literally, my initial reaction was, I went up to my mum and was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And my mum was like, don't be stupid. Carry on. But I think she knew what I wanted at the end of the day. But yeah, it's a difficult one because our stepsister, she's got a black belt, and you can tell that when she's in class that she enjoys it.
Mm.
But it's getting her to class to do it. Yeah. And it's and she knows that she enjoys it, but she gets nervous, and she it's a difficult one, and you kind of have to pressurize her because you know that she'll enjoy it, but she just
I guess at the end of the day everyone's different. And I think it's reading about the type of person and the level of involvement that maybe is suitable for them. You know, not everyone will become a black belt. Not everyone deserves to become a black belt. Not everyone wants to put the work in the black belt. And that's absolutely fine. You can be, you know, you can get the blue red belt and be a blue or red belt for the rest of your life and just train. That's, you know, that's absolutely fine. And it's sometimes hard when you can, particularly when you can see the potential and they're sort of reserved about it and just getting that right level of encouraging them, you know, telling them what they can gain from the experiences of competing and grading. But at the end of the day, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know, if they seem, you know, obviously they will know what's, well, you'd like to think that they would know what's best for them rather than you, or, you know, particularly what they're feeling and what they feel that they're capable of. And if at the end of the day they don't think they're capable of it and that it's not adding to their character or their building personality, etc., and it's just not for them, then you know that then is you need to come away from it and encourage them into something else. You know, I think that's the main thing. Like, neither of us have any kids, but when I do, I'd like to think that I'll have that, or at least I'll be aware to try and gauge that right amount of encouraging them, but not pressuring them and saying, you know, whatever you want to do, go for it, but what you do, go for it. You know, commit yourself, yeah. and you know, don't do anything half-heartedly. But you know, maybe easy to say, not being a parent. I'm sure all the parents watching will be going, "Oh, yeah. You think it's easy? Wait till you have kids." And I'm sure that is most definitely the case.
Again, if you have any input, then feel free to tell us and scrutinise us and, you know,
please
troll us. Maybe not trolling, but Simon Thomas came up with a question. Talking about competitions again. Sorry, we're on the same subject. He was saying, should everyone compete to become a black belt? Should you have to do a competition, at least one, to justify your belt?
That's a great question. As an instructor, I always encourage my students to compete. I think that you get something that's different from a grading, and that pressure situation, you know, it's not just you. There's another factor. There's another person in front of you. And now you need to function, not just remember your moves and remember your patterns, but you need to be able to flow, keep calm, you know, use the drills that you use to be effective. Having said that, I don't think that competition is the correct platform for everyone.
No.
I think it's good to put yourself under that kind of pressure and make yourself perform or do something that maybe you feel nervous about, because we all know it builds character. But competition is not necessarily the only medium for the way. It's far from the only medium from that. You can do that in many ways. And I think as an instructor, maybe it's about finding ways to challenge your students and encourage them to kind of have those situations, but not for, you know, maybe something that's more suitable than a competitive background. Yeah.
Can I bring an example, like Norman Luca, I don't want to quote his age, but he's 70s, 80s maybe, but you know, he's an amateur student, and to get him in a ring with a 35-year-old is just, you know,
Yeah, it's unfair on the 35-year-old, really. He's a nutsard.
Yeah. Don't mess with Norman Luca, man. He'll mess you up.
Yeah.
but in all seriousness, it's inappropriate. And you say the veterans, but obviously he's, you know, past veterans, you know. No,
sorry, Norman, if you
We think you're amazing, and it's amazing.
Inspirational.
Getting in the
right. Well, he still wants to. That's
the thing. For those of you who don't know, we have a gentleman called Mr. Norman Luca. He's a fourth degree black belt. He is of an older generation than us. I hope he doesn't mind us saying that. But he is so game. Like, he didn't even want to... This is a rumour I've heard, a Norman Luca rumour I've heard. But I heard that he didn't even want to do the veterans. He just wanted to compete in the normal category. And they're like, no, you have to compete in the veterans. He's like, that's amazing. You can't help but look up to people like that. You see so many people that kind of our age that find excuses and I don't feel right, etc. And obviously people have legitimate injuries to stop them competing. That's fine. But you know, we have a tendency in our sort of slightly lazy Western society to find excuses and not to do it. Whereas, like, that gentleman's got, like, the ultimate reason. He's like, nah, bring him on, line him up. Or just pop, pop, pop. You know, it's brilliant.
Yeah, that goes back to kind of going, the contact levels in sparring. Yeah. You know, if there's, like, say, A, B, C category, if there's a C category tournament, then, you know, when no one's going to get hurt, then, you know, you can never guarantee these things, obviously. Because that was, well, colour belts anyway, their first tournament, the male,
up.
Yeah, the kind of adult male, maybe like late teenagers going in for their first tournament colour belts, they tend to go a bit crazy, a bit on the wild side.
Yeah, I've talking to many referees that have said they'll have heavyweight black belts over, you know, yellow belt sparring any day because kind of know what the score is and calm and, you know, playing the game. Whereas when it's your first few experiences doing it, it's and it must be weird actually, because obviously we've grown up competing and that's what we've done. It must be hard if you've never been in that scenario, and particularly maybe if you've never had a street fight or anything like that, sort of stepping in with somebody staring at you with gloves thinking, okay, wow, they're going to punch me in the face. If you're not used to that, that's a lot of pressure and a completely different experience for you in your life. Hence why you need a good referee to kind of keep the situation calm and fluid and in the correct manner.
I think it encourages skill level as well, because, you know, the people that rely on... If you're a yellow belt going for your first competition, you tend to use your natural assets, your power, you're very raw at that stage. To have, you know, you're not allowed to use your power, you have to use your skill, then, you know, it kind of adds another dimension to their sparring, kind of gets away from being, like, a raw talent to kind of, you know, fine-tuning their technique a little bit as well. But it's hard for, like, a young, really fit, you know, athletic, kind of 18, 19, 20-year-old to go into their first competition, train really hard for it, then kind of, you know...
Yeah, this is it, and sort of pitter and patter,
Must be hard, you know... So obviously they want the A class straight away.
This is it. Yeah, you need. Yeah. And that's a situation where you do know what's better for them than they do.
Yeah.
In the long run, and you do need to sort of step in. So, interesting one. We talked a lot about sparring and competition. Yeah. I want to go old school. I want to go traditional.
True Taekwondo.
True original. So, obviously, you started when you were 5 years old.
Yeah.
And you have grown up with Taekwondo, as have I, as have a lot of people. What would you say is the main thing that you have taken from Taekwondo? What do you think is the biggest kind of gift that you've received or taken from Taekwondo?
It's a really hard question for me to answer because, you know, I've had Taekwondo in my life, you know, same time as I started primary school. It's hard to say how I would have ended up if I didn't. Isn't like it changed my life. It built my life.
Yeah, that's true. There's no comparison. It's not like you, where if you start Taekwondo later on in life, you say, well, this is my life before Taekwondo and this is my life after Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Maybe, if you start from a baby, it is, this is my life. What? I don't know how it would be different.
Yeah. Well, you know, all I can say is, from what people say, is when I was, before I did Taekwondo, I was painfully, painfully shy. And, you know, I was kind of, first few sessions, I was hiding, carrying away behind. I had the best guard in the world, just because I didn't want anyone to see me. I didn't want to look at anyone. So that was me in my first few classes. And obviously, well, I'll say first few classes, first few years, really. It took me ages for me to come out my shell. Mm. And no, you wish I stayed in it, really. But I'm not sure if it gave me the confidence. I suppose it being an individual thing and kind of going up and performing by yourself.
Mm.
But I can say, like, for myself, my personality is I'm calm nature.
Mm-hmm.
Natured. So I suppose it's just, I'm not sure if it's through having that outlet to, you know, channel. I don't have any frustrations, but, you know, that's because I leave them out all in the past.
Well, this is it. You don't know what you would be like without it, you know.
Yeah.
You might be more pent up and have some frustration. And something that I like podcasts, hence why I'm doing one. Something that Joe Rogan said not too long ago that I thought was interesting. He said the only people that he knows that are truly happy, or truly happy is you need a definition for that, I understand, but that are consistently happy and you know that he meets, and you know 99% of the time they're fine, and if they've got something going on, it's well, you know, it's okay, it's manageable, are people that work out. And that have that kind of strenuous, whether it's 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a day, that have that outlet of aggression, you know, and let your body chemistry be the way that we evolved. You know, we came from primates, and they spent a lot of their day adrenalized, lifting stuff, looking out for predators, etc. And, you know, maybe there's something about human beings that we have that inside of us, and we, to be healthy, happy people, we need to have that kind of outlet of controlled aggression, maybe not even aggression, just physical outlet. And if you don't have, I mean, I know for myself, you know what I'm like, and I know what you're like, if we get an injury and we can't train, I'm a nightmare. I get emotional, I cry, you know, like a...
He's round mine every night, watching chick flicks with chocolates.
Yeah,
crying into my arms.
My God, I just want to do Taekwondo, why is it not fair? but it is, you know, I genuinely... And in a way, it's a little bit scary, in the sense that I do feel that my happiness is dependent on me... not necessarily Taekwondo, but being able to have that kind of outlet of physical exertion.
I'm going to say this. I mean it jokingly, but seriously as well. Taekwondo's your crack. It's you know, some people channel their frustrations. They get angry and they channel their frustrations in a negative way. They're like, I'm angry, I need to get drunk. Or I'm angry, or I'm upset, I need to eat some food. Or, you know, I'm angry, so I need to punch a wall and hurt myself. But I suppose when I'm angry, I tend to take it out on myself, but in a positive way. So I'll make myself hurt doing push-ups, I'll make myself hurt doing sit-ups, or, you know, I'll... and turning it something negative into something positive, and feeling feeling adrenaline run through me, and kind of letting off my steam, my negative energy, and by the end of it, I'll feel like, you know, feel on a high. So after training, every time I go back from training, if I've had a hard session, then I feel chilled out and full of love, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like a hippie.
Mm, definitely. I'm
going to run through cornfields with my hands out. And
That's it. I think, particularly as a young man, it's most definitely important. But, and I think overall, general happiness is important for everyone to have that outlet. And as I say, it doesn't need to be Taekwondo, it doesn't need to be martial arts, it could be anything. But physical outlet, to, as I said, have the correct chemistry is definitely important.
Yeah. Say how it changed people's lives. I think it'd be a good idea if you have any, any experiences, if it's changed your life, if you started up late. We had a guy train with us tonight, his first sparring session with us, just turned 60 years old. Maybe it'd be a better conversation if we have someone like that talking about their experiences. But
yeah, most definitely. Get in contact with us.
Yeah. It's an individual journey, is what we can say.
Indeed. Talking of experiences, we've just had a message on Facebook from Mr. Matthew James Powell, saying that he's enjoying the live cast as we speak. So a shout out to him. Something that I'd like to bring up, because I think a few people saw the video and got the wrong end of the stick. Myself and Matthew's a friend of mine. We met a few years ago when I went down to do a seminar or a sparathon or something like that with Mr. Bishop, also from Puma. We met then and we sparred, and Matthew's in a wheelchair, and we were at the Southern Championships not too long ago, and he competes in patterns, and I've seen him do that before, but we were just chatting and I said, have you ever competed in sparring or sort of sparred on in a competitive type background? And he said he hadn't, and I just said, well, do you want to? And he said, yeah, most definitely, let's go for it. And and so I just went up to Massagel, who's the tournament organiser at the time, and said, he hasn't done that, and we'd like to do that, can we? He said, yes, of course, being Massagel. And so we did a round of sparring, and I asked him before we went on, I said, do you want to do a demonstration or do you want to be in a sparring match? And Matt, being Matt, because he's game, said, no, I want to be in a sparring match. And and it was like, okay, cool, we'll have the feeling of a sparring match. So we got on and sparred. Moving footwork, etc., moving around, combinations and stuff like that. And I think some people viewed it without knowing the context and sort of thought, oh, hang on, what's going on here? But I think it's good to clarify that it was all arranged, and we agreed on the terms of the style of sparring. And this is the thing, we both had a great time. Which is what it's all about. We had a great time, and people enjoyed watching the spar. I think that's what Taekwondo is all about at the end of the day. Mm. It's not about the medals or the belts and stuff like that. It's about the experiences and the people you meet along the way. And, we all have our Taekwondo families, people that, we spend a lot of time with and share a lot of values with and opinions. And I value the people, the opinions I don't share. I just value having those like-minded people around to interact. It's our life. I'm blessed that we've got so many nice people in Taekwondo, and especially in Puma and our association as well. But that's across the board.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. say it takes all sorts, doesn't it?
This is it, and that's the great thing about Taekwondo, isn't it? Is that you pull lots of people from lots of different backgrounds, and you meet some characters. Again, some of you that you agree with, some of you don't, and that's the thing that with Taekwondo, you don't need to agree with everyone. You know, it's like if you're setting out in life to try and agree with everyone and kind of be agreeable and get on and etc., then at some point you're going to be dishonest. I think it's the having that combination of being courteous and flexible and accommodating, yet staying true to your values and working for the greater good.
Yeah. You know? And yeah, I mean, someone who's new to Taekwondo, you know, if you had Matthew against like a yellow belt or something like that, they just wouldn't know how to fight, to be honest. I mean, I heard that you took a few blows from him and he's...
That dude can punch, man. That dude can punch.
Yeah.
In fact, when we sparred, one of the first times we met, he had a great tactic. Obviously, for those that know my sparring style, I'm quite heavy on the front leg. He just rolled over my front leg on his wheelchair, punched me in the stomach. I went, rolled off. I was like, yep, fair one.
Yeah.
You did me there. Nice move.
I think going back to it being an individual journey, like he can compare himself to you, but you kind of have to make your styles work. You know, you have to take something away and he has to kind of add something to his sparring to kind of make it work. And I was, again, talking about the guy that teaching today, he was 6 years old and he was getting frustrated with himself. He's looking at I think they're Jack and Sam, they're like
12 and 10
years old, and you know, young, fit and quick, and
yeah, been training for a long time.
Yeah, good guy. But he was looking at them doing it and he was like, why am I not as quick as them? Why am I not? I was like, you're not going to be. You're 60 years old, man. And I was like, all you can do is compare yourself to the you of yesterday or the you of last month.
That's it. As you say, it's just about improving yourself. That's what Taekwondo is about. And actually, that's what the ultimate goal of competition, I feel, is about. It's about bettering yourself, not just physically, but psychologically, mentally, being able to handle pressure, etc. And that reflects physically and psychologically.
Yeah, sometimes I go into competition and I win no problem and I come out frustrated. Maybe because I haven't learned anything, or, you know, I didn't perform very well, or I wasn't as good as the last time I sparred. And sometimes I go in and, you know, I wouldn't say ever losing first round is a good thing, but maybe I'd lose in the final, and I come out and I learn something, or I come out and I say, yeah, that worked really well, I'm happy about that, and I kind of take something from that experience, and, you know, I feel as if I bettered my last performance, and, you know...
It's about your own performance, isn't it, at the end of the day? I was talking earlier about subjectivity of sparring and somebody else involved, but at the end of the day, it is how you perform given those challenges.
Like you're saying, Matthew, like, I bet you first time he came in, like, that coming up with that tactic to kind of roll on your foot and hit you with a body shot, so I bet you he wouldn't have thought of that, like, when he was a white belt, but now he's come up, you know, he's improved himself, he's come up with a skill, and he's bettering himself, and he can compare himself to him as a white belt, to him progressing into a very good black belt.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good times. That's just about coming up to time.
Is there any news or anything happening? What's hot for press? What's happening in the TKDO world globally?
I'm sure a lot of things. Again, if anyone wants us to mention any events that they've got coming up, promote them, just let us know. Personally, obviously we've got Worlds, 3 weeks.
Yep.
and then not long after that, we've got the Puma English Championships. And then July the 11th, Super Fight Series in London. K1, so I'll be fighting K1 rules. So no shin pads, no feet guards, leg kicks, knees, just with no clinch. I'm sure most people will be familiar with K1. If not, Google it, YouTube it. It's a really exciting kickboxing style, and I'm sure you guys will all enjoy it and also appreciate the support.
Yeah, I mean, in future, if anyone has any kind of questions or anything, just interact us. Go on our Facebook page, and you know, if you have anything you want to talk about that we mentioned in this this episode, or you know, if there's anything that you want to talk about or just share experiences, you just want to get people talking. It's in the name, Talk TKD. Everyone talk, communicate with each other.
That's it. As we say, we just have interesting, well, we think they're interesting, we find them interesting, conversations about...
don't care about you guys, we're having fun, so that's all
that matters. Yeah, that's it. No, but yeah, it's just a platform to extend the conversation. Yeah, again, before we start off, I think to True Warrior, warriorforlife.com, Super Fight Series, where you can get your tickets at ssearena.co.uk. Good luck to all doing Master Wolves Tournament. Hopefully should get this up tonight, so it should be available for download on iTunes or via the website a little bit later or tomorrow morning. If it's tomorrow morning, good luck today, guys. Enjoy it.
Okay. Do we have an ending jingle?
No, we don't have an ending. We don't have any jingles, Mike. I'm sorry. If you would like, I'm doing the rest of it. If you want to get a jingle, sort yourself out a jingle.
Okay. I go talk, then I go T, then all you've got to say is K. That's all you've got to do after the T. Okay, then I'll say D, and that's that done. Okay?
Alright.
Talk, T.
K.
D. Peace. Bye.